You're with Eon, keeping you company on E-Radio.
It is a cold Thursday afternoon here in the Garden Route. We're coming to you live from our loft studio in Knysna. I wanted to say we have an amazing view, but now you can't see anything. It's all misty. But the wind was quite hectic earlier on, and luckily it blew Kane into the studio, not into the lagoon. How's it going, Kane?
Good, good. Jeez, it was quite a walk getting here. I mean, the rain is out for a fight today. I've never seen
and
it.
And it's nippy, hey? I think this is the first real cold front that we're expecting, experiencing.
I always know when we're getting our real cold fronts because I start doing everything with a hot water bottle and I need to constantly refuel it.
Well, it is hot water bottle time again. And also, tea and crumpets, like one of our listeners, Paul, is doing right now. He's having crumpets and tea while he's listening to us.
Jeez, let's get some of those in, yeah.
Would be lovely, actually. Would be lovely. But anyway, welcome to Tech Thursday. And it is, of course, the tech show that we do on a weekly basis, Thursday afternoons between 3 and 4. We like to have fun. We like to make jokes. We like to have strange guests, usually in the background. And today is no different. What have you got for us? What have you got lined up for us today, Kane?
Wow, quite a lineup. I mean, last week we had a very, I would say, a very technical week. There was a lot of stuff about rockets and space and all of that. And now we're taking a look back at a little bit more less technical stuff. Government wants South Africa to build its own phones and other tech products. So kind of moving away from a lot of importing. Tencent sustains COVID-era boom as revenue soars. The creator of Fortnite, Epic Games, is owned by Tencent. They've seen up to 25% gains even during the COVID pandemic. Johannesburg announces a big push towards renewable energy. We know that recently anyone can kind of provide their own power and they don't have to directly get it from Eskom, so Johannesburg will definitely be putting a push towards that. Lamborghini will be coming out with their own electrified supercars. They're going to be spending billions to do it, but they want to try get into that market. Listen to this. The boss of TikTok parent leaves posts to rather read and daydream. He didn't want the role as the owner, the boss of TikTok. And robotics and care event demonstrates world first for assisted living technology.
Oh, okay. Wow, Kane.
What do you have for us?
So not really in space today. We're coming down a bit.
Back to Earth.
Back to Earth. Just like that rocket. Listen, I saw a story somewhere that piece of rocket that was on the way to Earth, apparently it fell into the ocean.
Thank goodness.
But I don't know if it's been confirmed. You know, I'm actually getting conflicting
reports. It's hard to tell these days with all the news that could easily go viral.
But it is back here. One of the rockets came back and it landed in the ocean. Thank goodness. We're going to talk about a new WhatsApp scam that's going around. It has to do with the terms and conditions that you have to accept. People are now really, are they really causing problems here? But anyway, Bitcoin had a plunge this week and then it went back up again. I'm going to ask what's your take on it?
This is a juicy one, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I see Takealot and Uber's dominance is being investigated in South Africa. I mean, this is absolutely hilarious. No, it's not hilarious. Sorry, it's scary, but it is funny. An online shop disappeared with over 340,000 rand of customers' money. So they were like shopping on the thing and paying and waiting for it to come, and then the shop just disappeared. Like a rip-off, a Takealot rip-off.
No.
Shame, no.
I wonder if they operated for a duration first and then pulled the plug.
Yeah, you see a lot of these schemes nowadays. And then I want to check with you, how's your WhatsApp behaving after you didn't accept those privacy policies? See, I want to ask you at the end if you notice anything. Also got a listener question that we'll read at the end and get some advice on. Also a very fascinating thing that happened to him this week. But tell us what you got first.
Right, so straight off to a good start here. We're taking a look at at our government, SA's government, who wants to build their own phone and other tech products. So The Communications and Digital Technologies Minister says that the sourcing of locally manufactured products remain a key priority focus. Presenting her annual budget speech on Tuesday, she said that her department, together with the industry, has now identified a number of products that can be locally produced. These include phones and accessories. So they want to produce their own phones. I mean, you'll go to Vodacom and get a South African-backed phone. And accessories, so headphones, all that sort of thing. Manufacturing of components for infrastructure, so like 5G network expansion and that sort of stuff. Sensors and telematics. Smart meters for water and electricity and other tracking applications. And satellites and drone components. I thought that was very interesting, especially in regards to smart meters for water and electricity and other tracking applications. I mean, to think that every house in South Africa is equipped with a tracker which is not from South Africa. It's an imported tracker. I mean, it's quite a wake-up call, you know.
Yeah.
That's definitely money that is not circulating within South Africa anymore. It just leaves. So obviously bringing that money back, these are some of the things that that we want to be focusing on. I thought it was, what a cool idea. I mean, South Africa's own phone. Could you guess it a name? What would they call this
phone? Did they give it a name already?
Yeah, I mean, when they renamed Port Elizabeth to Gqeberha.
Is it something like that?
I don't know if they've made a name yet, but it's going to be something. Gonna be,
there's going to be a click somewhere.
There's got
to
be.
And I won't be able to pronounce
it. It's going to be another Huawei.
Yeah.
10 years to figure out how the heck to say it.
Yeah, or Nokia.
And speaking of new initiatives to build tech, Tencent, the owner of WeChat and Epic Games and a number of other large large businesses. Epic Games is a game launching software where you can purchase games. Like it's a digital store of games online, and you install it on your computer and you can run things like Fortnite and a whole bunch of other games. And Fortnite obviously did exceptionally well during 2020. They also had the first virtual concert that was I can't remember who it was with now, but they've done a number of those virtual concerts since then. So they've done very well, and it's interesting to see that in the COVID pandemic, Tencent has reported 25% gains in its quarterly revenue as China's biggest company so far. So I mean, it's a difficult place to be when you're in a position like Tencent, because Tencent has shed roughly $200 billion in market value since its January peak, part of a broader Chinese tech sell-off. Phony Mars company, which is Tencent, has largely escaped Beijing's antitrust crackdown for now, despite its WeChat app offering unrivaled insights into all aspects of Chinese life and commanding a lead in gaming, music, and social media markets. So there's a large amount of antitrust crackdown happening in China. We're going to get into a little bit of that now in regards to Bitcoin taking a tumble. But to have those kind of gains and things like that, you're getting back into the spotlight, and these games are played by everyone around the world, and China is going to be very quick to take action on this. So it'll be interesting to watch what happens, especially with Tencent in general with the new lockdown. We saw what happened with Jack Ma and the crackdown that they did on him. He disappeared for like 2 months straight. He wasn't seen anywhere. It was like a crazy thing. So keep an eye on Tencent. We don't know what could come next, you know. We don't know what could come next. What do you have for us?
Well, I'm curious to ask, you know, what happened with Bitcoin this week? What's his name, Elon Musk, do now?
So we've had some you wouldn't in the world guess who came out of the woodwork to give Elon Musk a word of his mind, but I'll tell you about that now. So Elon Musk originally said, right, well, he's known for promoting Dogecoin, which is another cryptocurrency, but he actually went out and he said Tesla will now purchase or keep a portion of its portfolio in Bitcoin. So it bought a whole bunch of Bitcoin. Then a few months later, Tesla sold 10% of their Bitcoin, and they said that the reason they sold that 10% of their Bitcoin was so that they could prove liquidity, so that they could prove that if in the event that they need to get that money back, it's possible. And obviously when you're dealing with large sums of money, I think we spoke about it on one of our weekly tech shows, when you have large sums of money, it's very difficult to actually be able to get that money out of it, to actually have enough money available to get out. So if they own 10% of Bitcoin and 10%, if they own let's say 3% of Bitcoin and you can't sell 3% of Bitcoin, then that money can't all be regained, therefore the valuation is inaccurate. But they prove that the liquidity is there. Then later to that, Tesla announced that they're going to actually be allowing the purchase of Teslas with Bitcoin. So this is all now creating this hype and this media attention, and Bitcoin is coming to the spotlight. And then people like MicroStrategy and all these other big companies start purchasing into Bitcoin. Planter, which is a tech company in California, I think they own 91,000 Bitcoins, and they were purchasing these Bitcoins while Elon was doing all of these things. Elon, as I said, was also promoting another cryptocurrency, Dogecoin, and that'll come into play now. Then Tesla turned around and said, right. Elon actually made the statement on behalf of Tesla. He said, right, Tesla will no longer accept Bitcoin payments because of the significant carbon footprint that Bitcoin has. Exactly, that Bitcoin has. And due to that nature, they're not going to be accepting Bitcoin as payment for the foreseeable future. But when Bitcoin is more carbon friendly, then they could look at accepting Bitcoin again. And what happened there is a lot of market trust and things like that fell away, and people started rethinking about it, and it was a big reversal on Tesla's part. So who came out of the woodworks? Kelly Slater is a famous skateboarder.
Kelly Slater.
Yeah, and he came out. He's been dormant for a long time on Twitter, and he came out and he just gave Elon Musk his 2 cents about the whole thing. And he was very distraught in the tweet. He said to Elon, you know, it doesn't make any sense of all these actions that you've been doing. You're going to say that, for example, you're not going to be accepting Bitcoin anymore because of its carbon footprint, but you're not actually focusing on the carbon footprint that is being created from your cobalt mining in Africa, and the two don't correlate. I mean, he was very verbal about it, and he said, you know, if you're going to say that Bitcoin is bad because of its carbon footprint, then why are you promoting Dogecoin, which was literally just a joke of a coin that was created, a digital currency that proved that any currency could be created. And he went and promoted that and shilled that, and now Kelly Slater came out and said it doesn't make any sense. So Kelly believes that Elon was pressured by Tesla to make a statement because of the mounting pressure Bitcoin was applying to existing infrastructure, even in America, to banks and to things like that. The pressure that is being created by people saying, oh, I get more money having my money in crypto than I do in the bank. Why do I keep it in the bank? And this question circulates. So it might be something to do with that, and it might be a statement that he made, but that caused Bitcoin to have a reversal.
Okay, that's why it plunged. But it went back up.
Not quite. It plunged a little bit. But then China announced that they were going to be banning Bitcoin being accepted as payments as part of their antitrust crackdown. And those two pressures caused a big tumble, and that's what we see here now today.
So that's what happened this week.
Okay. And if you were smart, you would probably be thinking, right, how long will it take until it bottoms out?
Yeah.
There's your entry.
That's thank you, Kane. Well, now we know. Now we know. That's what happened this week, eh? Your systems
are offline. Eve Radio Live, powered by TCS Wi-Fi.
Thank you to TCS Wi-Fi for keeping us connected solidly through the storm. Kane is with us, and right now we're going to talk about the popular messaging platform WhatsApp. They obviously updated their terms and conditions section in an attempt to further promote Facebook integration, but there's a new scam going around, and it seems legit when you open up the scam to ever sends it to you. But guess what happens when you actually click on the link? You're actually blocked from the app.
Whoa.
Completely. And that's not WhatsApp's doing. That's the new scam that's going around.
How do they do that?
Hey, I don't know. SA media law expert Emma Sadlier shared tips on social media on how to prevent getting scammed on WhatsApp. She says there's a new hectic new WhatsApp hacking issue. If anyone asks you to send a 6-digit code, don't. It will look super legit. They may even call you to hurry you along. Happened to a few friends this evening who are now locked out of WhatsApp indefinitely. So don't click on anything and don't send any codes to anybody. Okay?
Jeepers. That's terrifying.
Yes, but I mean, you're going to get locked out anyway out of WhatsApp if you don't.
If you don't accept those policies.
Yeah, you haven't accepted it.
No.
You haven't been locked out. I haven't had any issues sending you messages.
I still have a profile photo.
Okay, so nothing's happening your side yet.
I changed my status. It was touch and go for a second, but it updated.
So you're fine.
Yeah, no, I'm
you reckon you'll get through it?
Yeah, no, I have green ticks now. I don't have blue ticks. No, I'm joking.
Oh, wow. Okay, I was quite fascinated there for 5 seconds. Green ticks, okay. At least you didn't have that clock that you spoke about. Okay, cool. So your WhatsApp's still going. What was it? The 15th of May. That was the deadline. Okay, it's 5 days later now. Ken's experiencing no symptoms yet.
Nothing yet.
not
completely
yet.
In the clear.
Okay, yeah, I haven't had any problem sending you messages. So.
Someone who accepted the policy is sitting there thinking, why did I accept it if nothing's happening?
But apparently, just with this WhatsApp scam, you will get a message. There's a screenshot here. And somebody will send you a message saying, I think, yeah, they will send it to you on WhatsApp saying, hello, I'm sorry, I sent you a 6-digit code by SMS by mistake. Can you pass it on to me, please? It's urgent. And then when you pass it on, your WS is blocked.
Done. Out of there. Finito.
Yeah. So look out for that. Emma, sadly, she's a very, very notable person and a very reliable source. So that's definitely what's happening at the moment. Social media.
So they've done something very technical there.
So what do you think happens? Do you copy and paste that code? Is there a link? Is it from... I don't know. How does that actually execute a block?
It's very technical. An interesting question. It could be something to do... If they've infiltrated WhatsApp systems at all, it could have something to do with a confirmation of an account deletion or something like that, or that's all masked. If it's got nothing to do with them breaking into WhatsApp, then it could be some sort of SSID, you know, kind of... confirmation that you provide unto the phone to give permission for
SSID.
Some sort of change, you know,
yeah,
when you
pop-up
go
thing.
When it says enter in this code or whatever, you confirm a code to take an action on your device, and then that action locks you out of WhatsApp completely outside of anything WhatsApp's doing. I don't know, but it could be one of those and it could be none of them. Moral of the story is don't send any codes.
Yeah, don't send any
codes. Even send a message. Don't risk anything. Just delete WhatsApp.
Oh, gosh. What have you got for us next, Kane?
Next, we have... I thought this was quite funny. So, the boss of TikTok, the big man, right, he has stepped down from being the boss man of TikTok because he feels that he's better suited to, you know, rather, as he puts it, he prefers to read and daydream. That is why he stepped down as CEO of TikTok. He feels that someone else with more creativity and things like that could better wield the crown.
Yo.
But, I mean, geez, if I had an opportunity to be, you know, in a formidable position at TikTok, I mean, I'm not gonna opt for reading and daydreaming.
No.
You know?
What's wrong with him?
Opt for shorter hours. Take a vacation.
For goodness sake.
He's gonna read and daydream for all of like 4.5 days and he's gonna start going, oh, I need to work somewhere.
It is like that. It is like that. Exactly like that.
So he stepped down from that, and I think we'll follow it and see what he gets into next. But the next interesting thing is Lamborghini is going to be spending billions electrifying their cars. Their ideal is to have a they want to have a electric and a petrol slash or diesel car model for every model that they have.
Okay.
So you can go and get their track suited Aventador or their best selling Urus SUV. And it can either be powered by an electric motor or a petrol or diesel motor or a combination of both of those. They expect in the second half of the decade, they will have their first vehicle powered purely by battery.
Yeah.
Right? So they're focusing on hybrids at the moment. Mm-mm. And then they're going to try and push into having a dedicated electric only vehicle. And it's quite a big step, you know. You're used to these screaming V12s, you know, Lamborghini, the sound, the everything, and then you get electric, and it's like you can't even hear it when it turns on. You know, how are they going to sell it? You're going to see these where the exhaust should be. There's going to be a big speaker. You can choose what your car sounds like. You know, City Golf, you know, Bucky. Can have whatever sound you want.
Imagine this massive car. It sounds like a Golf. No, man.
It just sounds like a donkey carrying carts.
No man gain. Are you serious?
I don't think that'll happen. But they will have to make a sound.
They're taking away the magic. You could. Why don't you just play a song then out of those speakers, for God's sake?
As you put your foot down, it goes louder. The song gets louder.
Listen, that's brilliant, and I'm actually so glad you're mentioning those cars now, because this coming Saturday, the 22nd of May, 50 supermotors will be racing through the town of Mossel Bay. You'll be able to go and see them. We're talking Ferrari, McLaren, Lamborghini, Valkyrie, is it Valkyrie?
Yeah.
What is a Valkyrie? Aston Martin, Porsche, Corvette, and BMW will be driving through Mossel Bay. 50 supermotors. Are they going to just go through Mossel Bay? That's my question. Or will they come through here? I'd like to see that.
Now, my question is it what is the purpose of the event? Have a bunch of people who have really nice cars decided they want to drive their really nice cars together? Or is there some event that's happening?
Is it the event? It's just the event, seeing the cars.
Wow.
And showing off, I suppose. No charitable cause. Nah, it's just a bit of fun, eye candy for
that's
you.
That's really cool, eh?
Yeah, you can check out. Looks like they'll also stream it online. DaytonaMosselBay.co.za is the site you can look at. So
how cool!
DaytonaMosselBay.co.za. You can see it online as well. Otherwise, if you don't want to go and stand there in the crowd and risk your health, and it's going to be freezing anyway, so. Why would you want to go out?
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that now, Kane. The next one is interesting as we head into the online world of online stores. And I see there's an investigation now into Takealot and Uber regarding their dominance. It's the Competition Commission. They actually... investigating Takealot and Uber Eats right now to see if they are competing, how would you say, legally. I don't know, why would they do that? Do they feel like there's no space for others to come into the market, or they're just keeping an eye on them, see if everything is above board? Why would you investigate it? Know what I'm saying?
Well, I think that a lot of, you know, you don't just get monopoly. There's a stairway to having a large monopoly. You know, did you acquire the monopoly that you have? You know, was it a linear route, or did you do anything malicious along the way? Did you buy out any companies and just dissolve them immediately? Remember Kalahari.net?
Yeah.
They combined with Takealot.
Yes, that's right. You're right. Oh my gosh, I almost forgot about
that. What happened there? Was that did they pressure the CEO of Takealot to make a deal? I mean, did they pressure the CEO of Kalahari.net to make a deal? Now, I mean, these things you don't know. And that's maybe why the investigation would take place.
And Uber?
Uber, I mean, they got it. They came into the country somehow. They like remotely
quite quickly.
Here. Yeah, very quickly. Mm. Just like Luno, one of South Africa's biggest cryptocurrency exchanges. Just remotely launched,
just popped up overnight,
and the market they saturated the market quite quickly.
So they just want to see if they did it the right way.
All above board.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's
I don't know
enough.
If that's true, but they might also have an ulterior motive. Maybe they got a tip-off or, you know, maybe the goal is to try and maybe out of their analysis, they want to try identify how small businesses or small and medium business enterprises can actually have a place in the market, you know? You can't go and sell the things that Takealot sells from your digital store anymore because they have the best price. They have the fastest delivery. It's their system works. It tracks everything, you know. So it's very difficult to be a competitor to them. Maybe it's an investigation to see how the small guys have a chance.
Now I want to ask you, Kane. You just ordered a super expensive gadget for an online store. I don't think you're that stupid, but let's just say now you were stupid, okay? Because I'm sure you would check if it's legit and everything and if it's an actual store. So you pay the money into the account or whatever the gateway is to pay it afterwards. And then, boom, overnight, that store disappears off the internet and your money's gone and you don't get your PlayStation. What are you going to do? Who are you going to call?
Not the Ghostbusters.
Hell no. No, I was
thinking... might need him, actually, because the guy's ghosted.
Yeah. Clever. Oh, no, I was thinking maybe call Deborah Patter from ETV to investigate third degree or carte blanche or something.
What's that guy's name from carte
blanche? Derek Watts.
Derek Watts arrives on the scene. I would do I'd write it off because in every purchase you make for the first time you gotta have that what if.
Mm-mm.
I mean you gotta have the what if, and most of the time the deal is the reason you're purchasing from a place like that is probably because the deal is so sweet.
Good price,
you know? It's 3,500 rand for 15,000 rand phone. Word, you know. But they say that there's only 3 left and it's a going out sale and there's 50% off and you can use this 25% coupon. And you think, oh, wow, you know, there might be some logic to why I'm getting such a good deal. And then you buy it, you know, part of you kind of knows. Once you see that, oh no, the place closed down, a part of you kind of knows, like, oh, I just got scammed.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, if it wasn't a case of, oh, the deal was so sweet and I had literally just gone and purchased something just so happenstance from a place, that's just tough luck. Like, you got really bamboozled, you know? They really put the wool over your eyes because it seemed legit, it looks legit, they responded legitly, you got a tracking number legitly, everything felt so legit. And at the end of it, you just underserve. And that's just a well-executed scam. Like, you're just victim to smart people.
I'm just wondering, will your bank protect you? Or is that just me being naive again?
Your bank will protect you against an unauthorized transaction.
Okay, so, but if you put it through, then it's sorry, bye-bye.
I don't think you can go to the bank and be like, I didn't receive my item. That seems like more of a PayPal kind of
thing. I would say, hey, they took my money. I was scammed. And it went through your bank. Where's my money, biatch?
Why do you allow a scammer to own a bank account? How dare you, bank? You go to war.
That's how I roll.
I think if it's internal, it's more likely. So if it was a Capitec to Capitec transfer.
Yeah.
But if it's like Capitec to FNB.
Or one of those pay portals. I mean, then you're totally screwed. I'm sorry. You won't see your money again.
You gotta send
shame.
Money to Chad or Nigeria. You know?
I feel sorry for these people because this online retailer was called Mr. Shopper. Immediately, there's an alarm bell. I don't know why. But anyway, mrshopper.co.za. Hey, God Blanche's already on it. Hey, awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well
there's
done, Derek.
What's
Whoa,
on the cake?
Derek's got it already. So they made off with 340,000 South African rand. Gone. People ordered stuff, PlayStations, you name it. You won't see your PlayStation. Not even a small one that you get when you order from Wish.
I mean, it's not even a lot of money, hey?
Yeah.
I mean, for them, you know, if you're going to go and do it, at least make like 30 million or something, you know? Don't go and like make 300. How long will 300,000 last you? Like a real factual equation.
Yeah.
10,000 rand a month, 12 months, 120,000 rand a year, 3 years, 360,000 rand. I mean... You know, it's not like you're going to last 3 years with that money. And that's one person divided by two for two people. Now you're going to last a year and a half. You've just gone to jail for a year and a half of living. I don't... The scammers themselves, and like, that doesn't make sense.
But I'm feeling sorry for little Kevin who saved up money.
Kevin and Granny water for his phone, and all those come out, eh? And it's so unfortunate, but I think you... I think you might be in luck, you know, reporting it to the bank. And the thing is, if you had paid via EFT, if you had paid via credit card, if you had paid by any of these means, the money is actually, there's a trail of money, you know, there's somewhat a path of money. If those payments were maybe made in cryptocurrency, you know, then that's a different story. Some people use like PayFast. PayFast is basically a company that allows you, it facilitates bank transfer, credit cards, Zappo, eBucks, and all of that. If it was through someone like them, there might be a chance. Your money can't be gone, unless they've done their job as a scammer, in which case you've honestly been scammed. Like, you've done nothing wrong. It's just unfortunate.
My broadband actually contacted AfriHost to find out why the Mr. Shopper website was taken down, and the hosting provider said it was suspended for non-payment.
My word.
Oh, isn't it ironic?
That is just... They were long ducked. They were gone long ago.
But you know what? These guys were riding on the Black Friday wave.
All that time ago?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. November.
Yeah, that's when it started. So they kind of got the people in.
300,000 rand over 6 months. They're like making very little every month. It's not worth it to go to jail.
Yeah, well, how will they find these people?
Well, they got to get their money. That's the thing about people who scam in crypto as well. You know, you go and you make the scam, you get the money, it's in your bank. Now you need to spend the money. So what do? You get the money into your account. You have the money come into your... You spend the money. Whatever you end up doing, you need to use the money. The money makes no difference being sitting somewhere. And in crypto, when you take your money from the blockchain and bring it into your bank account, that's where every single scam is caught. And these people, they've scammed money into a bank account or into some sort of checking account or into some sort of store of value, and they're going to have to access that store of value. So as long as the police or the we have a criminal investigation unit for digital cybercrime, it's like the Hawks or something.
Mm-hmm.
The Hawks could invest. When the Hawks investigated, they were going to find where the money all went. And if they've moved it, then they can be caught or liable to be caught. If they haven't moved it, it could be seized and retrieved. I don't think it's gone. When that one crypto scam went down called Mirror Trading International, MTR, they recovered most of the money.
Mm.
Yeah, I think they actually managed to get access to one of the crypto wallets that they were using. But this is like, if you're not in crypto, crypto is where the scam and the money can completely disappear.
Yeah.
But in fiat, in real world, I don't know how it could happen, you know, unless you posted them 100 rand notes via the NYSLA post service, you know, in which case they're going to be making money for another 6 months because the post office is so slow.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, they are very slow. But, shame, man. Yeah, it's not a good situation to be in if you are on the other side of a computer. But just got a message saying that somebody from ETV already did a story, and they tried their best to locate the guy. He's gone. He's probably left the country.
Probably drew the cash and...
Yeah, gone. So Brazil. I don't think you're going to see your money again or your PlayStation. It's too little. Sorry.
Yeah, it's too little to really get it back.
You got to wait and buy with reputable companies with a track record.
Yeah.
You have to do your homework.
You have to.
You cannot just, even if the price looks good, you cannot just enter your credit card details or whatever into this unknown platform, even if there's a little secure lock at the top. It's all just for the show, you know.
They're feeding off of, you know, guilt,
yeah,
or greed,
mm-hmm,
or envy.
Yeah.
They want, those are the emotions they want to create in these products and stuff like that. I suspect if this thing operated for so long, surely there must have been online attention that comes up. And when there's online negative attention, sometimes the scammers can actually counteract that by creating positive reviews or flooding the market with purchased positive reviews or doing whatever they can, completely changing their name, for example, to something else to avoid being, you know, tailed by that old prefix that they operated on. So you, the only way that you can really be safe is if you're going to buy something from somewhere, just be prepared to make a first purchase of something far less valuable. Find the cheapest thing that they have, you know?
Ah,
you know,
clever.
Find the absolute cheapest thing that they have and purchase it and wait for it to arrive. Yes, you're going to waste the money, but when you purchase for the first time and it works, when you purchase something for the first time and it works, you're going to use that store for 15, 20, 30 times.
Mm.
If you use that store and it doesn't work, you're going to lose the first item you purchased from them. Rather, disassociate from what you want, buy an item of far less value, and then ascertain whether or not your item has arrived as promised.
Brilliant thinking.
And make a second purchase.
Brilliant thinking. That's so wise.
Then
I
you
like
can
that.
Load up 60K into your cart and just dump it.
Yes. That's a very, very, very clever solution, Kane, to avoid some more scamming, because it's inevitable. It's going to happen.
You're going to be a victim at some point. Might as well have habits that protect you from it.
Eve Radio Live. Powered by TCS Wi-Fi.
And we're back on Tech Thursday, 12 minutes to go to 4 o'clock as we wrap it up. Kane, you have a very interesting story for us right now.
Yes, so something that we haven't actually done a lot or thought about a lot is, at least for me, I haven't thought about robotics that can help assist, you know, with social care and frail care and all that sort of stuff. And I thought about it when I first envisioned a robot helping a person.
Mm.
I thought, you know, a thing that looks like a human, maybe carries around things and helps you, you know, like a very like cinematic movie kind of approach. But in reality, a robot that would help you would actually not look or be like a human. It would have all the essentials that it would need to care for the person on its person all the time. You know, it would have thermometers, it would have sensory kind of stuff, you know, where it would look and how it would pick up potential strokes or things like that, you know. So they recently had a event where they demonstrated some of this technology, and it kind of is a collaborative robotics and social care event has brought together innovators and end users in a week-long burst of creativity around assisting technology, supported by the world's first example of an open-assisted living laboratory. Highlights included connecting multiple home appliances with a single in-ear switch, and new concepts for using technology to help support social isolation and existing care packages. The event was organized by the National Robotium, and it was attended by health and care professionals, academics, and assistive technology providers. And they're working towards creating these technologies. So we could eventually see, you know, a robot that might help someone who's wheelchair bound while he's sitting on the couch reach and get a drink over to him, you know, you know, these kind of things that someone would just not be able to do on their own if no one was supervising them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's an affordability thing. It's also a time and place kind of thing. You know, not everybody can be actually affordably, not everyone can just be attentive the entire time that he's powered on, where a robot can. It can be absolutely attentive 1,000% of the time, and that might assist with, you know, as a supportive structure for frail care, not necessarily to replace the person or the role of the caregiver, but to actually provide assistance to the caregiver to allow the caregiver to focus on other essential tasks around and things like that. I thought it was very, very interesting.
Would you trust a robot near your granny?
No.
Not at this current time. I never thought I would say those words.
No.
Would you trust the robot near your granny?
No, I mean, I could imagine, you know, I think the thing about robots is they have no cognition. We have cognition. So you might walk over and expect to be picking up a drink.
And then you pick up granny.
You're picking up granny, you know.
Oh, no.
The robot is walking straight into a wall or something. You know, they don't have cognition. They don't.
Exactly. No, I wouldn't trust the robot.
Like the robot sitting thinking not yet. It's cutting vegetables or something, and it's just like dicing your computer keyboard. You know, you never know what can happen. So I know I wouldn't trust it at this current time, but technology is advancing hella fast, and the stuff that I couldn't afford, I would trust, you know?
Mm.
And that's the high end, like really, really technologically superior technology that isn't the cheapest alternative. Whenever you're going cheap alternative with technology, it's disappointing. But if you could go above commercial level always means it must be able to be scaled and distributed and the whole world must be able to use it. But realistically, the technologies that is available is well beyond commercial grade.
Sure.
Yeah.
Actually scary. Anyway, a question from a listener that I promised you is a 087 number keeps calling him, supposedly a spam caller, and he blocked the number, but it keeps calling him.
The same number?
Yeah.
Doesn't block?
No. So is that possible? Can they now override these things?
So what? It How might strange. Be possible that they have a way to override it, but maybe whatever you did to block it didn't block it properly.
Yeah, did you use Truecaller or did you block it on the actual phone?
Yeah, Truecaller.
Do both.
Would be a good one, but definitely both.
Do both and let us know how it goes.
Yeah.
God, these people are persistent.
They're persistent. I mean, you know.
Oh, Lord, no.
I thought it was quite funny because my dad recently passed away, but his phone, every third day, gets called by an MTN automated voice sales thing. And he just thinks to yourself, like, what? Does this just go to like 100,000 of your subscribers and you just like fingers crossed that you get some sales from it or something? I don't know what.
Yeah, but you see also robots, no sympathy. Eh?
No sympathy. They don't care if you don't answer. They'll just call back tomorrow.
Yeah, for heaven's sakes. No, you see, I don't trust these robots, eh?
Google has a very good voice automated robot system, which can actually be a little bit cognitive. Like you could arrange a hairdresser appointment, for example, through a cognitive robot. So you would tell the robot, hey, please arrange me, call the hairdresser and arrange an appointment for 3. And it'll pick up the phone and call the hairdresser. Not you, the phone, Google calls the hairdresser and speaks on your behalf. Now imagine getting a phone call.
What does she sound like?
You could say it's on whatever you like. It could be a guy.
But these voice technology, speech to text, or no, text to speech, it's advanced so much.
It has.
That you can really, it almost sounds like a human being, but sometimes you can hear there's a bit of a lack of emotion or the way they space the words and all that stuff.
What I found quite impressive with that Google technology was its ability to recognize what was happening in the speech above and beyond what was being said in the speech. Like they ran 2 different scenarios where the hairdresser said, yeah, no, no problem, that's all good, and then another one where the hairdresser stipulated that there's an issue with a specific time, what would they prefer, and the robot was able to comprehend. And
was the robot I'm impressed. So what if the hairdresser says, no, sorry, not this week, and then
the robot will say, okay, what about next week, when are you looking available? And then they'll say, well, what does like 3 to 5 on a Tuesday look like? And then the robot will say, oh, that should sound good, what about, you know, they'll like completely go,
I'm thinking the robot's gonna go, okay, we'll make an appointment tonight at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Made 7 appointments for the exact same time. You're like, what is going on?
Yeah, but also got a message here on the WhatsApp line saying, dangerous waters to walk on, showing the robots they need to take care of us. It may not end well. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it's not going to end well.
No, you don't want to expose. That's actually very true, not just for the robots, but for actual, you know, you're providing a piece of technology which is essentially protecting something very valuable in your life. And you have ransomware attacks. Imagine your caretaker robot being like, we've been hacked. Sorry, pay this much Bitcoin or we won't turn on again. You're like, oh no. So that's a big problem.
Or pay this much Bitcoin or I won't release your granny or something.
You see, you gotta be like,
that's not gonna end well. It sounds like a robot apocalypse or something.
I don't think it's possible. A new movie, but it's definitely something that they need to think about protecting the systems for, you know, when they're building this stuff. Like they need to operate completely off the internet to protect them and the people they're looking after.
And your final story, Kane?
My final story is...
It's all about solar, right?
It is all about solar, and it's all about Johannesburg making a big push towards renewable energy. They want 35% of their energy needs to be facilitated by renewable energy sources by 2030. So obviously that big wall being lifted whereby no other electrical producers could be running in South Africa on a commercial level or anything like that, with that being dropped and Eskom not being the only sole provider of electrical energy, now we see someone like Johannesburg is saying that, you know, the move would reduce reliance on Eskom, which has subjected SA to periodic outages for over 13 years. Can you believe it's been 13 years of load shedding?
No, man.
Hey?
No, are you serious?
Not necessarily load shedding, but unforeseen outages and load-bearing issues and capacity issues.
I thought it was below 10. I can't believe it. 13
years of unreliable generation. It's also an opportunity to combat climate change, as almost all of Eskom's power is generated by burning coal. Remember last week or the week before when we spoke about it, they had a 32,000 megawatt capacity and only 715 megawatt generation from renewable energy. Less than 3%.
That's nothing, man.
Nothing. And if you go into PE, especially at night, you think you're being attacked by aliens because there's these big red lights that are just in the sky because it's the windmills.
Turbines
spinning, but they have little red light. So it's all dark, and then the sky just fills up with red dots. And you think, aliens have arrived. But after all of that, after the all the renewable energy stuff we've put down, it's only 750 megawatts.
And it's so expensive to put up. But look at your output.
Yeah, I mean, remember you said the Saudi investors from last week also putting in $1.8 billion,
and then the output is so little,
300 megawatts or something like that, you know, putting us at 1,000 megawatts to every 32,000 megawatts we create. I mean, it's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. It's peanuts.
Yeah,
but
gotta make another
Johannesburg
plan.
Is saying that they plan to move, so they're Johannesburg wants to ensure that there is sufficient energy security within the city, ensure that the energy is affordable, and ensure that that the access and reliability of the energy is maintained. So obviously directly targeting issues that Eskom faces at the moment: unreliable, unmaintained, and unaffordable. You know, it's all, they exactly want to go in a reversal of where we are now with Eskom. Renewable energy would be procured by gauging interest from private producers and using municipal funds to pay for it. That's very interesting. So they want to look at private producers. So they're not necessarily saying we want to have 13 mega facilities built that will generate solar power. They're actually saying that what we want is we want to potentially look at private producers. So that's an opportunity for entrepreneurs to create renewable electrical energy and sell it back to the grid. And a consumer of that sold electrical energy will be Johannesburg's the entirety of Johannesburg, as an attempt to fuel the grid with renewable energy versus fossil. But even by 2030, what we're talking, 9 years, 35%. You know, it's small.
It's very, very slow.
The shift is slow.
And small,
there needs to be some investigatory work into how to generate large volumes of renewable energy. I mean, when you saw that picture we saw of the $1.8 billion investment, it's a small farm of solar panels, probably not bigger than your average agricultural farm, portion of land, not huge. Imagine an entire city of Cape Town just dedicated to generating renewable energy, or in the Northern Cape, just a huge mega facility, massive, you know, just to generate renewable energy. If we can bring the price of creating that down and the amount of energy that it produces up, we could really work much faster at absorbing that fossil fuel use, because we don't have 30 years to get to 70%. That's why we're in the position of global warming that we're in now. So we can't say in 30 years we want to be there. In 30 years, it's colossally larger of an issue than it was 5 years ago. So it needs to be something that is kind of done in the next 3 to 5 years,
you know? Oh my gosh. Well, On that note, are you ready to go out and brave the elements?
Let's do it.
Kane, thank you so much. That's a wrap on Tech Thursday again. And already looking forward to next week, okay?
Thanks so much for having me on. It's been another great week. And definitely looking forward to jumping back into the studio loft next week and throwing out some good facts and news.
Lekker, lekker. Thanks again. And we'll see you next week.
Cheers. Bye-bye.